chapter 8, and this is, tonight is our final sessions. Let's see, Doug Fisher is on there, right? He's on. Doug, I just need to tell you that I have this guy from Columbia that has been emailing me for a long time, and we've sent him a lot of books in Spanish and stuff, but I don't speak Spanish, and he keeps texting me, and Google Translate, I don't think, is saying what I want it to, because he dropped off the radar once afterwards. I don't know what I said. But I may need you as my voice, as usual, so I may need you to get in touch with the guy eventually, or, you know, I don't know. Maybe I can give you the number at the end of this or something, if I've got it on me. Okay. All right. We're ready to start. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. What we're going to do in this final two sessions is we're going to divide up into four different groups. Now, I'm going to be the groups. I'm going to be the four different groups. So, yeah. Yeah. Just calm down. What I had originally hoped was some time back of us having the screen and be able to include all of you guys that are there on Skype, but we're going to do it this way for now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a couple of the topics that we've covered in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and Romans 14 and 15, the first part, the things that we've been discussing throughout this class, and I'm going to be a different person for each category. And the first issue that we're going to discuss tonight is eating things offered to idols okay? Okay? Some of you have already reacted. And if you have, going, no way, then you're in the weak group. You'll be second. You'll be second. All right. So is eating things offered to idols okay? This was the question that the Corinthians were wanting Paul to answer, and also the Romans, which he did in chapter 14. And so just giving sort of a brief thing on some of these. Group one is the knowledge group. And the two scriptures that I have, and there's plenty of them, but the two scriptures I have on this specific thing is 1 Corinthians 8, verses 4 through 6, and 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19. All right. So, when you ask the group leader for the knowledge group, is eating things offered to idols okay? His response is, there are no idols or gods but one, Jesus. So we are not honoring other gods by eating. Now this is, basically I'm telling you what those scriptures just said. That's what the knowledge group said. Hey, there are no idols, there are no other gods, they don't even exist. There's only one true God. And so we're not honoring other gods because there are no other gods. And we're not eating things sacrificed to them because they don't exist. All right. Group two is called the weak group. First one is the knowledge group. Now we're going to group two. And in the weak group, the scriptures that I have for them on this particular issue is 1 Corinthians 8, 7. 1 Corinthians 8, 7, verse 10, and verse 28 also. 1 Corinthians 8, 7, 10, and 28, with Romans 14, 23. And their response would be, the weak group's response would be, everyone does not see everything as clearly as you do. If I if I see you who are spiritual eating, I may feel pressure to go against my own conscience and eat, causing me to sin. Is that what you want? Mallory, since Mike Wallace is with the wheat group. In other words, you want me to go against my conscience? I mean, I do have a hard time with this, and you're asking me to go against my conscience in this thing. All right? Group three, I originally called them the acceptance group, but I didn't think that was clear enough, so I want to call them the everybody get along group. I was originally going to call it the Rodney King group, but he died recently, a couple of days ago, and I wouldn't want to dishonor the man, so, you know, who said, why can't we all just get along? Okay. Everybody get along group. All right. It sounds so good. It sounds so right. And so, using 1 Corinthians 8:8, along with Romans 14, verse 2 and 3. So here's my basic statement according to those scriptures. This is the everybody get along group leader speaking. Eating or not eating does not commend us to God. We should get along and not judge and despise everybody. It's not right to judge. Also, 1 Corinthians 10, 25 through 26 and 28. You can eat or not eat, for in both cases, the earth is the Lord's. You don't have to eat to prove it, whether you eat or not. We'll stop right there. I don't have a period after it, and I didn't finish the sentence, so. Well, that's because if they make a mistake, they expect everybody to get along. Then Romans 14, verse 1, let's not argue. Romans 14, 2 through 4, one man believes this way and another that. God receives both. God holds both up. Romans 14, verse 5 and 6, be persuaded in your faith, though different. The hearts of both are towards the Lord. And then finally, Romans 14, 7 through 12. Neither category are living to themselves. We all are the Lord's. Our account is to the Lord, meaning we give account to the Lord, which it says in those scriptures. All right. And then there's only one more group, group four. I call them Christ crucified. No, not Christ crucified group. Christ crucified as life. This is the people who have Christ crucified as life. They're not a Christ crucified group. They either have Christ as their life or they don't. If they do, yes, you can say, okay, these people do, but the immediately when you say the Christ crucified group, it sounds like a group of people who have doctrinally set themselves toward a certain teaching instead of Christ crucified as life. That's their thing. They have found not just Jesus as Savior. They have found Jesus as that one that was crucified, and that picture of Christ crucified being the pinnacle and the plan that God has for each and every one of us, because that's the life that he gave to each and every one of us. And that is the standard. If we have the life, we'll reach the standard. If you don't have the life, you cannot do it. And in many cases, will not do it. You know? It's too hard. It's too, well, it is. It's, and no, I guess in reality, it's not too hard. It's impossible. It's not too hard. It's impossible. And if it were possible, God wouldn't want you to do it. He wants his son. He wants the nature of his son. He wants the self-giving, selfless one who doesn't have a hard time with losing so that others may gain. He doesn't struggle with that. Jesus never struggles with that. When God gave him the choice, we talked about this last couple of classes. God hath given me a commandment that I may take my life or I may lay it down. And he chose to lay down his life. He doesn't struggle with that. I was thinking of, I just passed through real quick, a scripture in Hebrews, and it talks about being made lower than the angels, and there's, it might be a different scripture I'm thinking of, but it goes on to say, oh yeah, he says, thou hast prepared for me a body. Well, as that body, folks, he's going to come and be a living sacrifice, or a dead sacrifice, whatever, however way you want to put it. As nature, he's a living sacrifice. As per the pinnacle of God's love and reality to mankind, the strongest testimony and picture of who God is, you have to look at Christ crucified. You don't just look at Jesus feeding the poor and helping people. You look at the cross. And so, so there's this place where you come to a realization that it's not about getting along and settling for a doctrine of getting along. Anybody can say, let's get along. You know what I'm saying? Anybody. I mean, monks can say it, or gang members in, you know, Harlem, or, you know, in Oak Cliff, where I grew up. You know, well, let's just get along, you know. Well, yeah, but they want to get along. I mean, I was in that gang, by the way, and they want to get along with each other, but not with the other gangs, you know. So it's very limited. In other words, it's not based on Christ's self-giving life, that he would die so that the other gang members may live. Can I get amen on that? And that's a completely different thing than embracing a doctrine. It's a completely different thing than wanting to do the right thing. It's a completely different thing of protecting yourself because you have a weak conscience. And I understand that. I mean, I try to never go against anyone's conscience. But the cross does. I mean, in truth, if we're aligned with the cross, it's not going against our conscience. But the cross is not going to change because of someone's conscience. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you know, Jesus doesn't want to violate our conscience either, so he won't. He won't push us into being sacrificial according to his nature. We have to choose that. If we don't choose it, well, then we don't. But as I said last class or a couple of classes before, if you have anything in your heart towards the Spirit of the Lamb, towards Christ crucified, and you see that way as something beautiful, whether it's beautiful for you personally or not yet, if you see that as something beautiful, you are being dealt with by the Holy Spirit. Because there is no beauty that we should desire. So there's only a beauty that the Holy Spirit would show us that would cause us to be open to such a reality, such a thing. Okay? All right, so let's see, a few more scriptures still on this everybody get along group, I think. Let's see. Nope, I said it all. All right, group four, Christ crucified as life group. Now, there's a lot of scriptures that cross over here, And you may not be writing all these down. You don't have to, and it's probably good at this point if you're not, because I'm going to be giving a lot of scriptures. But basically, I'm just giving scriptures in 1 Corinthians 8, 1 Corinthians 10, and Romans 14. And I don't even think I'm giving any in Romans 15, so which is, to me, a huge book. That was just power packed. All right, so the Christ Crucified group says, and because I'm going to do so many scriptures, I'm not going to give all the specifics. I told you it's in those three locations. All things are lawful, and that's what the knowledge group said. All things are lawful for me. Paul says all things are lawful. He does not argue with that because he's saying that's not wrong. But what is it, Carolyn? They're not all edifying. They're not profitable. Let's be more specific. They're not all Christ. All right. What are we saying then? What is that? What did we just step into? We just stepped into the Garden of Eden where there was a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and we're willing to eat the good fruit off of the tree God said not to eat of and stay away from the evil fruit, but we're still eating off the tree he said don't eat of. God gave us life, and his name's Jesus. Eternal life, you've heard me do it many times before, is without beginning and without end. Eternal life has no beginning. Amen? No beginning and no end. Well, that's not you. You, even if you get saved and you never die and you live for eternity, you still had a beginning. Eternal life is Christ. Because he's the only one without beginning, without end. Okay, so if you have eternal life, it doesn't mean you're going to get to spend forever the rest. See, we say eternity, but it's the rest of eternity. But it's not all eternity. Because we weren't around before we were around. That's heavy, I know. I've been working on that one. I know. Calm down. All right. And then he says, give no offense. And he names off three different groups, which, you know, basically, if you just work on these three groups, then you'll be fine. You don't have to consider the whole world. Just consider the three groups he said don't give any offense to. The Jews, the church, and the Gentiles. That's what he said. I didn't make that up. That's the three groups. He said give no offense to those three. If you do that, you'll be okay. You okay with that, Mike? Okay. I knew that you would. All right, give no offense. He also says, I please others. I don't seek mine own profit, but I seek the profit of others. And that is actually probably about four different scriptures there. No, it's two. It's 1 Corinthians 10, 32 through 33. And then 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3, you have knowledge. Remember, this is the Christ crucified as life. You have knowledge. It's not enough. Love is better. I think I quote that one down on our next question. And then not everyone knows what you know. Now you're speaking to the knowledge group. Not everybody knows what you know. They have a weak conscience. Okay. There's two ways to approach this. You can approach it on a deference level, giving deference to people, or you can approach it on Christ crucified. You can say, okay, anytime I run into a person with a weak conscience, I'm going to be nice to them. That's giving deference and a few other things. I won't use it, but you know, and that's, you know, we're setting a little standard. We're placing a little, you know, stone tablet with a new writing on it. Okay, if that's the deal, if you're going to force us, you're the apostle, you know, so I'm going to go with it. So anytime I run into anybody with a weak conscience, I'm just going to let them up. Okay, I won't pick on them. Praise God. Okay, now I'm going with the Lord. That's not what God wants at all. That is not even close, folks. That misses the mark of what Paul is talking about. I was thinking of something. I probably shouldn't go there. Then what is he talking about? He's talking about, it doesn't matter if they got a weak conscience or if they're, you know, this or that or whatever. If you're the strong one, then be strong enough to bear you one another's burdens by laying down your rights and bearing their burdens, by going the extra mile for them, by letting them slap you and turning the other cheek, but by Christ crucified, by that spirit and the nature that gave itself willingly and totally on the cross. That's the life God put in you. Yes, Carolyn?
It's like having the law without the spirit.
Yeah.
It's just, it's different in that it's permissible, not permissible, but it's still, it doesn't have the spirit.
That's well said. Now, I'm sure they probably heard it, but I mean, basically she's saying, you know, to do it the other way is to not have the spirit in it because, okay, this is permissible, this is not permissible. And I think what you're saying is that what Christians can do is start two piles. One pile is what they can do and one pile is what they can't do. And it doesn't require Christ to live in them at all. Okay. Well, isn't the pile that we can do off of the tree of the knowledge of good? And isn't what we can't do off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And isn't that really putting ourselves totally at odds with the Lord who said, don't eat of there? See, we don't, you know, we're so busy fighting against the Ten Commandments that we never saw the first thing that tripped everybody up, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and eating off of that tree constantly, trying to be good, trying not to do the wrong thing, want to be right, I want to do the, but are we pursuing Jesus? Are we saying, Lord, let it be you? And even if I could do it, I don't want to do it. I've had to do that. There have been times that I've said, Lord, I could do this, but I'm not going to do it. I want it to be you. And if it's not you, then I'm not going to put my hand to it. And some people go, well, you're crazy, man. You know, you're just so spiritual, you're no earthly good. Well, the Lord tends to show up eventually. And, you know, sometimes immediately. But I think that was well said, Carolyn. That was Carolyn Allen, the wife of Jim Allen, live here in the gathering with us. And this will be uploaded on the web throughout all eternity. You all right, but there's more. Wounding a brother is a sin against Christ crucified. And that's what we don't understand. That's what he called it. When you wound a brother so, know ye not that you sin against the Christ who died for him. Jesus died, went to that extreme. Jesus took all of that junk and all of that blame and all that for that guy. And you can't even, navigate through this little situation of, you know. So it's just so important to see that the issue, and Paul is making the issue, it's either Christ crucified in us, or it is us offending, I guess, that's not the best word, going contrary to the nature of Christ in relationship to how we're proceeding with one another and in different situations, because we have no compass. We don't know what to do. We're trying to figure out what to do. We're reaching, what did Isaiah say? He said it so well. You know, you wander in the day like it's dark, like it's midnight, and you're blind and you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to get hold of something that will make it clear and make it stable and make it, you know, where you feel like you have some control in this thing. You're not supposed to have control. I'm not supposed to have control. He's supposed to be the life force. Not just the life. I mean, it is the same thing, but I mean, the life force is stressing that the thing that is bringing this thing about is Christ in you. Well, he knows what to do. I do always those things that please the Father. That's what he said in John 8, you know. I do. Well, you know, I used to go, well, you do. Why are you pushing that in my face? Because I didn't do all those things that pleased him, and I knew it. And so I'm going, well, you know, why would you even put that in the scripture? Rubbing my nose in it because I don't? Well, anybody see maybe that I had a bad spirit? But one day I began to realize, wait a minute, the guy that's talking right there 2,000 years ago walking the earth now is living in here inside of me. Inside, I'm his vessel. He is the treasure. And he calls him a treasure because the next verses say, because when we're cast down, we're not forsaken, and when we're persecuted, we're da-da-da-da, and all this stuff. And he's not just a treasure in general. Oh, I treasure you, Jesus. That's not what he's trying to convey. He's trying to convey that he's the treasure when it comes to this kind of stuff, because he handles it right. He doesn't get persecuted and go, and I've done it a million times, but he doesn't. He doesn't go, feel hurt, or I'm, you know what I mean? Persecution hurts, but I'm trying to tell you that Christ still loves in all of that. And in fact, I'm going to repeat something I said several weeks, maybe a couple of months ago, but you know, it you need to realize that you will hurt. There, you can't fellowship in his sufferings unless you suffer. Unless you go through some stuff. You will go through stuff. You'll feel it. Ow! You know, we go, well, Jesus hanging on the cross. He didn't feel the nails, you know. I'm getting a picture of something, but I won't refer to it. But we think it's just this glorious little trip that he took. And he felt every ounce of it. Spirit, soul, and body. He felt every ounce of it. But he didn't come down from the cross. See? And so when you're going through that and people are seeing you go through that, their answer to you is they'll come up to you and basically say, look, why don't you come down from the cross? Save yourself. You know? The answer, the way of victory is to come down from the persecution, the cross, the hurt, the all that people are doing to you. Let God deliver you from the cross. That's, you know. And if God had to deliver Jesus from the cross, we'd all be in hell or heading there. But, and we think that's the way of victory. Is, God, get me out of this situation. We don't want to fellowship with him. I mean, See, it's not so much that we don't want to fellowship with him as much as we're totally ignorant as to where we are. We are so surface. We don't know what's passing over us, And so it's just carrying us instead of us being strong in the Lord and that kind of thing. But there, you have every reason to freak out because it hurts. Because nobody wants that. Nobody wants all of that. But you do want a fellowship with Jesus. You do want his life force, Christ crucified, to live in you. You see what I mean? You're not choosing pain. You're choosing Christ crucified for the good of even the ones giving you pain. You love them. You love them. Jesus loves them. He died for them. You love them because Christ loved them. You love because he first loved us. That's why you have any kind of a care. Trust me, you wouldn't care for them at all if the Holy Spirit wasn't at work in your life. You wouldn't. You'd want to strangle them. You'd want to add to their pain. You would. You would like to be a major force adding to their pain. And then put it on the web, Facebook. I added to their pain. Spread it all over the web. Yeah, this feels good. Well, it might feel good, but it doesn't feel like Christ. It's kind of like going out and binge drinking for 8-9 hours straight, going home, and eventually waking up 2 days later and going, this isn't as fun as I thought it was. Most of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You're very holy people. Well, I'm thinking of my BC days, but nonetheless. All right. 1 Corinthians 8:13. If eating causes stumbling, I will never eat again, talking about meat. This is Christ crucified to me, and that's what you have to see. This is not some sort of, you remember those guys that wanted to kill Paul? You remember that story in the book of Acts? What was it? 30 guys? Wasn't it 30? I can't remember the number, but it was a bunch of them. They all committed together. They vowed a vow. They were not going to eat until Paul was dead. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure they never did. Because Paul lived for a long time after that. But here, Paul is saying, if eating caused them to stumble, I will not eat meat ever again. Every time I think of that, here's what I think. I always think that something in us minimizes that thought. It's almost as if it's not a true thing. It is a statement to show the depth of his commitment without really the thought of doing it. Well, I would, people say, I'd go to hell for you. Oh, yeah? Really? Well, if you don't change your ways, you're going anyway. No, not really. I'm just joking. Some guy, talking to his girl and said, well, I would give you the moon. I've often wondered, what the heck would anybody do with the moon, especially a girl. Well, okay. Here's your certificate right there. I sign it over you. Sorry. But they're ridiculous statements. And they put Paul's statements in that same category. He's serious by Christ crucified. Do you understand that? He's absolutely serious that if that's the case, That's the way the life within him is, and he will do without something that he really enjoys for those who really are so weak and ignorant. You understand what I'm saying? Because they are ignorant because they're not in the knowledge group. Because his answer is not to, you know, educate the weak so that he doesn't have to suffer anything or give up anything. His answer is, whether they recognize it, you know, he could say, whether they recognize it or not, that it's Christ crucified at work in me, I would take this course of action. Why? I probably got it down here, but I mean, there's no, you know, why? Because there's a power in that. We always think we're powerless. That's just ridiculous. That means you don't understand the true power of life out of death. If you say that, anytime you say, well, I have no power in this situation, you know, you can always lay down your life. You know, life comes out of, well, I know, I believe that, but what do I do in this situation? No, you don't even believe it doctrinally. You've heard it and you acknowledge it as some sort of a doctrine. But to believe it means that you know that this, in taking this road, that there is hope. And in ignoring that road and living for yourself, man, if you seek to save, you lose, baby. That's what Jesus said, except he didn't put the word baby at the end of it. But if you seek to save, you lose. He said that. And, you know, even John 12:24. It's funny. I'm going to turn there. You don't have to, but I'm going to read you. Remember at the 40th anniversary, just a couple of days ago, weeks ago, whatever, week ago? I must relate this little story, and then I'll read what I wanted to read to you out of it. Patty had said some things to me and Deb and put it on a little plaque thing, and then had quoted John 12:24. But I think maybe even on what was printed, she used John 12:14. And Lindsay was going to make a copy of this or something, doing something for the whole thing. And so she looked up John 12:14, and here's what it said. Speaking of my years serving the Lord, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat upon it as it is written. And she was telling me the story, and he said, that's basically what Jesus did, didn't he? He came into your life. And I said, what? No, I didn't. I couldn't argue with it. Still can't. I'm still glad he's hanging on. I really am. I'm so glad he's still hanging on. Now, what I wanted to quote, though, was 24 and a few verses. That, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, abideth alone, but if it die, it bears much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. What is that talking about? He said, if a seed falls in the ground and dies, that's how you're going to get fruit. Not by preaching, not by ministry, not by praying, but by falling into the ground and dying. He that loveth his life, he's going to lose it. He that won't fall into the ground and die. Is that what it says? You know, there's not, these verses were not put in here. This was the next sentence of a letter. Okay. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. And if any man serve me, and how is he talking about serving him in this manner? Because this was a whole new conversation. He started with his declaration of being a seed that falls into the ground and dies. If any man serve me, let him follow me into death. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Okay, well, serving the Lord in this manner is going down into death. It's also believing that life comes out of death. It's, you know, I mean, you go out here to a field or a garden or anything else, and somebody takes a seed and they get ready to put it into the ground and die. The seed is not freaking out the way we are. The seed is going, this is good. You know, if I'm an apple seed or a tomato seed or, you know, something like that, if I'm some sort of thing that's going to bring forth fruit, he's going, this is good. I will get bigger and stronger, but more than that, I will bring forth fruit to my master, and it will make him happy. If any man serve him and follow him, you know. But we're not seed in the true sense. We just use the term, and I'm not browbeating anybody. I'm just trying to get us to be real about these things. You know, if we're not real about the things of the Lord, it's like manna kept over, you know, 24 hours. It turns into religion. And that just gets wormy and corrupt. That's what it says of manna left overnight. We have to be real. We have to look at these things real. And if the scriptures declare us to be a seed, we don't declare ourselves to be a seed until God has worked that reality in us and we pursue it until the Lord does. We don't just go, well, I remember I prayed about that back in 1987. And I didn't see anything happen for, you know, I stayed with it for a month. But I never did see anything happen, so I forgot it. So are you a seed? Are you his, you know, are you looking forward to falling into the ground and dying? Do you believe in life out of death? Do you believe it? Or are you always going to protect yourself? He that loveth his own life shall lose it. Are you going to work and work the plan and work the people and work the situation to avoid the cross, avoid your calling, avoid Christ in you over and over and over? Are you going to cry out, God, I am this way and I hate it. He that hateth his life in this world. See, but he's not just talking about some homeless guy, which I'm looking more and more like, and I don't know when I'm going to say this, but anyway, I think I'll wait till Christmas, and then I'll look like Santa Claus. Anyway, for those listening to this and not watching it, I have a beard at this time. Is it like being some sort of homeless guy that's out here and he's sleeping under a bridge and his stomach is growling because he's hungry and everything and he says, I hate my life in this world. And God goes, here is the good pleasure that we've been looking for. Well, I mean, that's kind of the way, I mean, you know, it sounds ridiculous, but it's kind of the way we look at it, that's what it means. You know, well, I hate my life. I hate my job. I hate my boss. I hate, you know, greens. I hate spinach. I hate my life in this world. You know, that's not it either. That's yucky. He's not going, oh, yeah, look, there's another one. Just what I want. That's what I want. You know, that's not going on. That's in context with this, that those who are not flowing with his spirit, who are protecting themselves and do not set about to fall into the ground and die, knowing that life comes out of death, knowing that fruit comes out of death, because that's what that's declaring. Except the seed, except, unless. What's another word? Except the seed fall in the ground now. Unless the seed fall in the ground. So-and-so. Won't happen. Unless it does. Okay. Well, Lord, I want to be fruitful. But I just want to go out and witness. Be fruitful like that. My God, do you know what you're doing? You're making disciples that are like you. You know, you're not bringing them to Christ. You know, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. What does that mean? He said, this palki of the manner of death that he died. That's right here. That's verse 32 right here. In this, just a few verses down from what we're reading. He's still talking about being willing to fall in the ground and die. We go, well, I'm going to be fruitful. I'm going to go be a missionary. I'm going to just go out and witness to people. Or I'm going to sit around and laugh in the church service until we all giggle, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. Until everybody's falling out on the floor. And I'm not mocking that. I know it sounds like it. Maybe I am. Okay. Told you we need to be real. That's real. Well, I'm not. I'm not mocking it. But I don't believe that that's the fruitfulness that this scripture is talking about, because there's no death doing that. We go, well, I don't want to choose that way of the cross. It's hard. I don't want to go through extra stuff. Next verse. Now is my soul troubled. You know, that is the next verse. That's verse 27, 24, 20. Now is my soul troubled. I am having soul trouble. I'm freaking out. Soul trouble. Anybody ever had soul trouble? What about you, soul man? Soul trouble. Where you just going, you know better than I do. Well, as equal to me, but not in the same way. Jesus went through soul trouble. But then he says, but what shall I say? Save me? No, this I know why I'm here. That's the question. Do you know why you're here? Do you know your calling? Have you picked up on the calling yet? Have you embraced the calling? The calling is to bring forth fruit. The method is like seed falling into the ground and die. So instead of saying I'm a Christian, which is only used two or three times at the most, if that, in the Bible, you say I'm a seed. And I'm, what are you doing? What's your mission? Fall on the ground and die. Why? Because I believe in life out of death. I believe that there's a power. I don't believe I'm powerless. I believe that in taking this route, that everyone else looks at me, and I've had people say this about me years and years and years ago. Oh, he's foolish. He ought to, you know, stand up for himself. Or he ought to, you know, this and that. What good is that? The only power in that is the release of more yuck into this earth. I mean, again, when 9/11 happened, first thing when I heard it, the Lord spoke to me and said, increase the peace. Meaning they are hitting us hard. Don't respond back. Increase the peace. Pray for them. You know, everybody's going, oh, pray for all the people in the tower. Well, pray for the terrorists. Because you probably don't know this, but if you live as a terrorist, you die in terror. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. It's horrible. We go, ah, good. You know, I want them to burn in hell forever. Okay, well, I'm not talking to you, clearly. For you, I just say ignore everything I've said, because there's no getting you from that, you know. It's like the old Irish guy when we're driving around in Ireland. We pulled up, we got lost, and pull up in the car and say, can you tell us how to get to Dublin from here? And he said, you can't get there from here. We're on an island. How do I get to Dublin? You can't get there from here. Never mind. All right. We're really 10 minutes. Well, let's use it. Gosh, you know, I mean, I just really see this stuff. And I'll tell you, I'm still not going to say it. Came to my mind again, but I just don't think that's the Lord. I think it's me thinking something. Lord, show me if that's what you want me to say. All right. If eating causes stumbling, I will not eat again. This is Christ crucified to me. Those 30 men didn't eat again. We know they probably did, but they, you know, they said, I'm going to, but that wasn't Christ crucified. That was their commitment level, which is the same thing operating in us when we do that, not by Christ crucified. It's just us trying to be committed instead of us having a life and a nature, Christ in us, that will do those things that please the Father. Jesus goes down into the water where John the Baptist was baptized, takes him down and comes up out of it. That's my beloved son. Well, what did that water baptism represent? Death, burial, and resurrection. And the Father's going, we go, oh, that's Jesus. He finally recognized Jesus. He'd been here for 30 years, and he just now spotted him. And he goes, oh, there's, oh my gosh. Where's he been? There's so many people down there. I was having a hard time finding him. But there he is. And again, let's hope God doesn't talk like that. we say, Lord, we're just glad to be here in heaven at your feet. Well, it's good to have you here. We're going, really? I'm not going to go any further. Jesus had been on earth for 30 years. God didn't just spot him. The question is, what precipitated the moment? Well, he finally got baptized. We know water baptism is a big part of your life. When you get baptized, the heavens open and God wants to talk to you. No, baptism's a wonderful thing. Everyone should be water baptized. It's a glorious, I almost said ritual. Sorry. Picture. Picture, but there's another word for it. But, pardon? Well, anyway, it is demonstrating what? Death, burial, and resurrection. The cross. And the Father's going, now, as soon as he comes up out of death, because he went down into it, God raised, Jesus didn't raise himself. You do know that, don't you? God raised him from the dead. That's one reason why when you get baptized in water, there's someone standing there, or several someones, but someone there to make sure that you come up. Because when you get laid backwards like that, and they're not there, it's not a good type and shadow. Because you go down and you don't come up. Okay. God wants a true picture here and not a dead person. So, this is my beloved son. That's what I'm pleased with, that self-giving spirit that is being manifested there and type and shadow of what is going to be the true picture, the highest picture of that. All right, so, and then Romans 14, 13, God will be the judge, Romans 14, 9 through 12, but there is an area to judge now, Christ crucified. He says that, that's Romans 14, 13, he says, you know, don't be judging one another, da-da-da-da. But then he goes on to explain that there is an area that he's dealing with them over, and the judgment relates to what we can do now. We can allow Christ in his selfless nature to be given for other people, and people who won't deserve it. For a good man, some would dare to die. But Jesus, when we were yet without hope and in sin, died for us. Folks, that whole thing in Romans 5, that whole thing is talking to us about how we're supposed to be. It really is, in a major way. All right. So the everybody get along group says, you know, well, let's don't judge. But Paul says, well, let's judge ourselves by Christ crucified, and let's judge our actions and our attitudes by Christ crucified. I mean, can you see that? It's a different kind of a judgment. Number one, it's not judging someone else for their weakness because we're strong, and that judgment coming out of being puffed up or prideful or, you know, thinking ourselves more highly than we ought because we know a few things and we once were ignorant. But now we know some stuff, so we can pick on the ignorant. It's like, I'm a senior now, so where's the freshman class? You know what I mean? Let me at them. You know, what kind of spirit is that? That's not the Lord. So there is this area of judgment. We judge ourselves. We judge ourselves not in relationship to the way we have previously understood judging, meaning according to the old covenant, where judgment falls, but now our judgment is according to the new covenant. And that judgment is by Christ or not Christ, by Christ crucified or not Christ crucified. And we measure everything in light of the cross, in light of his spirit, in light of his nature, because we know that that's the pattern, that's the plan, that's the life that we've been given. And then Romans 14, 15, if a brother is grieved, you're not walking in love. You destroy him if you don't have the love of God, because that's what it means. And the love of God is, we've said it over and over, by this perceive we the love of God. The love of God is not found or ever defined in terms of hugs or kisses or sympathy in the realm of the soul, self-pity. Oh, poor thing. You know, we think that's Jesus. Folks, you want to love somebody, you lay down your life on, by this perceive we the love. This is how we know the love of God, because he died on a cross and you ought to be laying down your life for the brethren. Yes. Pardon? 1 minute. All right. So, well, I still have more to go on that, but I think I'll hold off because I would like to, you know, I would like to finish this because I only have one more class in 1 Corinthians and then we done. So that's the next class. So come prepared not to talk so much. We're dismissed.